Amen? God is going to plant what? A seed in their lives. And so today we're talking about planting the incorruptible seed.
Praise the Lord.
And this is a little bit of what I received from God during the time that I was in hospital. I received this from God. I talked to you some time ago here that with time I will begin to share with you. It's a lot that I got and prepared as messages for us that the Lord was leading me to. And this is one of them, is about planting the incorruptible seed. I know the concept about seed planting or seed sowing has been watered down over the years by lots and lots of pastors all over the world. But that's not what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the seed that we just all mentioned that God is going to plant in the lives of those children. And that seed, God already planted also in your lives. And I can see it. And so I'm sort of going to build from something which Joshua shared with us some time ago. He had a series where he talked about the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. And in that fruit, there are many other fruits. So it's just one fruit, but it has so much of it. And so I'm not looking at that fruit, because before that fruit became a fruit, there was a seed. Praise the Lord. There was a seed, and as I laid in the hospital, and I was pondering, what is it that I'm doing here? Why am I here? And why are you keeping me here? And I'm asking that question day in, day out, and the next day, oh, you're going to come out the next day. The next day came and nothing happened. The next day came and nothing happened. And just like that, from day to day, day to day, day to day, before I realized it was a month. At a certain point in my life, I said to myself, okay, God, what are you saying? What is it all about? And he said, these beds are always being full. There are 5 beds in here. You have to be praying for them. And I started praying for them. And each time that I prayed, and before I repeat the prayer the next day, they are discharged. And I'm asking the question, why are you not discharging me too, God? Why are you not discharging me too? And it went on and on and on. And when I asked that question too many times, the answer that I got in my spirit was, you have not discharged enough. And so I just had to continue to do what I was doing. I then realized that God had planted a seed in my life. And that seed needs to be nurtured, grow up into a tree, so that birds can land on that tree and eat out of it. So that my life can also give life to others. So that in every situation that I find myself, my life will be a blessing to others. That seed is an incorruptible seed that God plants in our lives. An incorruptible seed. I want you to turn to one another and say, planting the incorruptible seed. So that's what we're going to take home today. That God plants in our lives the incorruptible seed. It's not the corruptible seed. The corruptible seed is the artificial seed. Or just like you can find an artificial seed or an artificial fruit made of plastic. The first time I saw an apple that was made out of plastic and it was on a table and it was so nice, I thought I should grab it and bite it. And when I took it in my hands, it was as light as paper. And I said, what is this? It can't be the fruit, apple. And so, if you think that there was a seed in that plastic apple and you plant it, it will do nothing. Nothing is going to grow. And so the seed that God plants in our lives is an incorruptible seed that grows. And when I talk about growth, it means it takes time to grow. And that song that we just sang, it was all about the rock, the solid rock. Upon the solid rock I stand. And that was Peter. And that's the reason why we will go to the book of Peter, 1 Peter. Peter the Apostle, he is the one who wrote that scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to talk about just chapter 1, verse 23. And maybe just to recap your knowledge about his love, I will give you a little bit of rundown of the previous verses. 1 Peter. And I want to thank God for my sister who sought this Bible. I know you look at it and you are jealous. He has a new Bible. Don't be jealous. He sought this in my life. I didn't know that she was coming today. And last night I thought to myself, oh, I'm going to use this Bible. I have many of them, but this one would be quite friendly for me to use. And behold, she appeared, and I sat there and I asked her, what is this surprising thing that you always do? So, 1 Peter, we can't find Peter in the book of Acts, do we? We're going to go to 1 Peter. There we go. Before we get to that particular scripture, just to recap what Joshua had preached to us some time ago about the love of God. The love of God being one of the fruit of the Spirit. And in the previous verses, Peter the Apostle is trying to talk to young believers. He's not talking about your age. He's talking about how much time you've spent with the Lord. That determines your age. And he's trying to talk to young believers, just like myself, and talking to them about the love that God has and that the love that we should exhibit with one another. And so when he runs down from verse 1 of that 1 Peter, he runs down, he talks about the love that God had for his children, and that same love we need to exhibit to one another. And that's what Joshua was talking about. He talked about the fruits of the Spirit. God tells us in that 1 Peter that we need to be holy, because that is what nurtures the fruit, and so that it can bear more fruits. So that if you think about a tree that bears a lot of fruits, then you would also be sure that a lot of birds would like to land on that tree. Is that true? Mm-hmm. Birds would like to come on that tree in order that they can feast. And so Peter gives us that vivid explanation. Then it comes down to verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. And he uses the word there, brethren, which has to do with your fellow brethren in Christ. Your fellow brother, your fellow sister in Christ. The one that is beside you. The one that you fellowship together. The one that you have identified as a child of God. That is your brethren. He's not talking about the world. He's not talking about those that are out there. He's talking about those that are within the Christendom. And that these ones, you have to show sincere love. You have to show sincere love to them. Love one another fervently with a pure heart, he says. We should love one another fervently with a pure heart. And that pure, the pure heart that you need to have in order to love can only be nurtured by God. God transforms. He says, be transformed. Let the word of God transform you. You should be transformed from inside. And now, the verse that is going to give us the entrance into our message for today. I thought somebody said he thought that the message was coming to an end. No, it's just beginning. Praise the Lord. In his presence, we have freedom. Amen? In his presence, we have freedom. And we have that laxity, and you have that peace that comes from inside. You remember that song that we were singing there? Jehovah, Jehovah, Shalom. He is the God of our peace. He brings us that peace. We have it, all of ours. Verse 23, having been born again, meaning that you have believed. You have believed and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. You were not born again by some plastic fruit. No, you were born again by the incorruptible seed. Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Through the word of God that lives in us. And so we're talking about the incorruptible seed. That seed that doesn't have, that will not perish. And that's what we just said about the children. As you see them go to study, God will plant in their lives that seed. And it doesn't matter how much time that takes. Oh, I just remembered one thing that I was thinking of last night. You know, do you know Indian bamboos? You know those bamboos?
Yeah.
Good. So those bamboos, together with those of you who come from Africa, they talk about the raffia palm. The raffia, right? They also grow like Indian bamboos, but they are different in shape. What happens with them is, if you plant them, they take a very long time in the ground. For the Indian bamboos, I read that they actually take 4 years before you see them with two leaves. You take 4 years. I mean, 4 years. And in the fifth year, it then grows. In 1 year, it grows more than 18 feet. Now you ask yourself, what is happening in those 4 years? In those 4 years, the Indian bamboo is planting its roots. The roots are being planted strong into the ground in those 4 years. Then it takes 1 year and it shoots.
Amen?
Amen.
And so, God does it the same. He plants a seed in our lives. And that seed has to stay there. And so, you have to plant the seeds. The seed of God in your life. You have to plant it in your life. And when you plant it, don't expect it to be there tomorrow morning. Don't expect it to be available in the next hour. Don't expect it to be there in the next minute. Oh God, I just prayed and I just planted this. But you continue to nurture it. In those 4 years, God continues to water it. The rain falls on it. The sun shines to bring, I don't know, I'm not a biologist, to bring what? Chlorophyll? No. Forget about that. I don't know what that is. I don't know where I got that word even. And so, God, He is the one who nurtures it. And so, your part is to plant the seed in there. That's your to do. And you do not have to care what God does with the seed. But because it is planted, then God does something with it. God does something. It takes two to tango. Is that right? Those of you who have traveled and have gone to the Caribbean maybe for holiday, there is the song they call tango, and it's always there are always two persons that dance tango, right? So one puts the arm there and then they begin to jump and they dance around. So it always takes two. And so the word of God, for the seed to grow, it takes two. Father, I ask that, Lord, you will open our eyes that we and our understanding to hear this and let it sink in our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ. I may not know how to explain this, but it was very difficult for me to also understand it. That God, after we are born again, God plants an incorruptible seed in our lives, meaning that He puts His mark in our lives. And He says that that seed will grow. It could be like that Indian bamboo, and all the time that we are just, maybe we are saying that God is not doing a thing, He is wanting our roots to go down deep. And then, sometime, it's going to be the year of your breakthrough. And that year of your breakthrough, everything begins to flourish. And you grow in that year, 18 feet. You grow massively. And when I was on my hospital bed and I thought of all of this, then it came to my mind, Jesus tried to explain this concept to His disciples. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. There were 13 parables that Jesus explained to His disciples in just a day. In Mark, we may not see all 13, but if you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you put all the parables together, they come up to 13 parables. But in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, is talking about sowing. It's talking about that seed. It's talking about what happens with our lives when we sow that seed. When we sow the seed. And so God is always sowing, or we sow in our lives, and the sowing that we do in our lives is to sow the word of God inside. And then I began to know that the word of God that we carry along every day, it is full of seeds. Then it occurred to me, yes, Joshua talked about it. that it was that fruit, and in that fruit you had those different fruits. You have love, you have patience, you have all of them, gentleness, self-control, and everything. It's all in that fruit. If you've forgotten about that, you can check Galatians 5:22. It's all inside there, and it's full of those fruits. And so all that we need to do is to get the right fruit that we want for our situation, plant it, and then it's going to grow. I would want to take just two of those parables here in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 from verse 26. And this is Jesus. Now he was only talking in parables. And now when I read this the second time and the third time and the fourth time, it made sense to me. And he said, it was Jesus who said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. The seed is scattered on the ground. Look at me here. I want you to look at the seed scattered, the scattering of the seed on the ground. The ground is your heart. Okay? The ground here, my eyes were open to understand that the ground is your heart. And that seed will be activated in your heart. And who activates that seed in your heart is going to be God himself. And so if it is empty, then God is unable to activate an empty heart. Praise the Lord. He is unable to activate an empty heart. Verse 27, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. And when I read this, then it dawned unto me that the seed has to take time to grow. And then I'm looking at the process of growth. When we go to the farm, we go to our gardens and we plant, the process of growth, it's not going to be the next day. You can't just go and put corn down there and then tomorrow, or you plant potatoes and then tomorrow morning after watering for 2 days, you come and you start digging through. You're not going to find the potatoes that you needed. Right. So it takes a process of growth. And so God is saying that you sleep day and night. You get up, you sleep again, you get up, you sleep again. It takes time for it to nurture, to grow. But watch this. Verse 28. For the earth yields crop by itself. The earth yields then crop by itself. Here we're talking about, I talked to you about the ground, and now I'm talking to you about the earth that is yielding. The earth yields it by itself. And in Genesis 1:11, God told, after the creation, it was the process of creation, he said, let the earth bring forth. Meaning that everything that we need is in the earth. But in our situation, the earth cannot bring forth until we sow into the earth.
I'm not sure if it's making sense. Does it make sense? The earth cannot bring forth until we sow into the earth. And meaning that the word of God must be sown in our hearts. I read a little story about a boy who wanted to get a gift from the mother. And the mother said, listen, go to the Bible school, and by the time that you finish from the Bible school, I'm going to buy you a car. It was a very heady boy. And so he decided, because of that car,
Mom, I'm going to that Bible school. When I come out, I will have the car. And he went to the Bible school. He sat there and he said, he told the teachers, they should not bother him so much. He is here because of the car. I'm here because of the car. And so I'm just waiting that this whole Bible school course should come to an end. Let me go collect my car. And so for 6 months, he was sitting there and going through the Word of God. The Word of God was taught to them 4 hours every day. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. The Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. The seed was being planted and planted and planted and planted in his life. After 1 year, the course was over and he jumped out. And he told those in the congregation, goodbye, you're not going to see me again. I'm going to collect my car right now and then I will be on the streets again. And so he came back and the mom said, well done, my son. And here are the keys of your car. And he thought, oh, I had some friends who were in the quarters. Went to see the friends had been shot because they were in a gang. They belonged to a gang. The friends were shot. He went to see another one. They said that one had died some time ago. He went to see another one. They said he's no longer there. And then he went to the local pub where they used to assemble. And then he went in there. He saw new faces. But something in him told him that this is not your right place to be. He jumped out and went back to church, drove his car back to church. He went back to the congregation and told the people that I've come back. I think that the life that I lived here was better than the one that I've seen out there. The seed that was planted in his heart could not allow him go. Because God had planted an incorruptible seed. Nothing can corrupt that seed once it is planted. But you have one duty to do, is to plant that word in your heart. And that seed, is it about your finances? Then you get scriptures that has to do with how God solves the financial situations of his children. Get them from the scripture, write them down, and continue to pray and plant those ones in your heart. They will bear fruit. Is it about healing? Get those scriptures that have to do with healing, plant them in your heart, and they will begin to bear fruit. Is it that you lack peace? Get those scriptures that have to do with peace, plant them in your heart, and they will begin to bear fruit. Praise the Lord. And the earth needs something to activate it. And when you plant that grain in the earth, then the earth activates it and then it begins to grow. But the earth by itself has nothing. It needs that activator. It needs that thing, that seed to be sown in it. And therefore your heart is also yearning for it. And when it comes, it's going to activate that fruit. It's going to bear. But if you leave it empty, then it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Verse 28. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. So the process is going to be gradual. Jesus explained this parable. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Harvest time will be there. Seed planting time is also available. And so for those of you who are doing gardening, the weather is good now, so it's planting time. Maybe you have to plant some maize, you have to plant some vegetables. It's time to plant because there will be harvest time in the future. And just like you have to plant in your lives, you have to plant the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. And Jesus did not just end there. Then he went down to give us the parable of the mustard seed. How small it is. The mustard seed. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? How do we put the kingdom of God here in this case? Or with what parable shall we picture it? How do we picture the kingdom of God? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown onto the ground is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes great, greater than all herbs. That's what the mustard seed does. It grows up. It is the smallest of them all, but it grows up to become a big tree. And so, you may think that if I decide from today that I will be reading just one scripture a day, just one scripture, just one verse, just one verse of the Bible today, I read it today, next day I read another one verse, the next day I read another one verse, and I keep it in my heart, and I sow it in my ground, my heart. I sow it in my heart. Then God activates it and it grows, it will grow into a very huge tree. That's what Jesus is telling his disciples. It will grow into a very huge tree. We have to sow the word of God, the seed, which is incorruptible, because it will not be corrupted when it is sown in our hearts. I want to say that your hearts, they are the fertile ground of this seed to be sown. And you ask me why? How? Because you had given your life to Christ. Praise the Lord. And if you are here that you have not given your life to Christ, you have that opportunity to contact me after the service. And we can talk about it. And we can lead you to. Or you contact some of the elders, we'll be able to lead you through. And therefore, that mustard seed will grow to become that very huge tree that even the birds of the skies, they will always land on it and they will feast. And that's going to be your life. Amen. 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 That's going to be your life. When God, during the creation, when he asked that the earth should yield forth, it meant that everything that we lack is in the earth. Is that true? Petroleum comes from the earth. Petroleum comes from the ground. We drive our cars with fuel. It all comes from the ground. And even the animals, when I read further, even the animals that we see, they all come from the ground. You and myself, we all come from the ground. God forms man from the ground. And everything that we have is from the earth. And so the earth, our earth is not rocky. Praise the Lord. Sorry to say that you went and carried manure yesterday. And she carried a lot of manure yesterday to come and plant. So that was good soil. Amen. She was looking for good soil so that when she plants, it will grow. And so your hearts have already been prepared. Children of God, your hearts have already been prepared. And all that you need to do, it's for you to sow into your heart. To keep planting the word right inside. And that word, I promise you, you will not regret it. That word, the earth is going to activate that seed. It's going to cause that seed. If it's the earth that is going to kill the seed, let it rot, and then it will germinate and grow up to be a plant. In your life, will be the same. But when you just sit, and you say, God should bless me, what promise are you hanging on? And God looks inside there and doesn't see the promise that you're hanging on it. By his stripes I am healed. Oh yes, that's the promise. And therefore, that promise stays inside, is planted in your heart, and God will activate it to come to pass. Praise the Lord. God will activate it to come to pass. But you have a duty. You and I, we have a duty. And our duty is, right here, the word of God, to put it in our hearts. Otherwise, the fruits of the Spirit, we will be lacking. Because the word is not sown. If you lack self-control, then read scriptures that has to do with self-control, and you put them in, you plant them in your heart. And when that situation will pop up, just like Lynn shared with us the month before last about the situation that she had. She had to exercise self-control, otherwise she would have spoken something different, something bad. But because of that self-control planted in her, God activates it at the time of need. At the time that you need that particular thing, God would activate it because it's there in your heart. Because it has been planted. Because you think that you are planting just a mustard seed, but that seed is going to grow. It's going to grow as big as a tree that birds of the air may nest under its shade. And I was lying there in the hospital. Then I said, oh God, thank you. How can I be that person so that all the birds of the air can land on my tree and feast, that they can eat of my tree, eat of the fruits that is bearing out of me. How can it be? God, do it in my life. And I want to believe that it's also your prayer that God can do that also in your life. Plant that seed, that you plant that seed. Your planting is your part. And the part of God is to activate that seed. Praise the Lord. God's own section for it is to activate the seed. The soil is prepared, the soil is fertile, and it needs the seed. It needs your seed. The harvest time will come, and you will need to harvest that which you planted. Praise the Lord. I want you to bow down your head. When I listened to this, and then I got to a point, I said, God, I have never learned to be still before you. Cause me to be still so that I can listen to you speak. At a point, it was like nothing in this world bothers me at all. Even the sickness that I had did not bother me at all. And then I started feeling some peace coming into my mind. Your seed will activate the soil. Your seed will activate your heart. Your seed, your heart is there, is ready, and it will activate it. Tell the Lord that you are ready for him. And that when you plant, let him water it, let him nurture it. It may take 4 years, it may take any length of time, just like the Indian bamboos. But the day of harvest will come, and God is going to bless you. Father, thank you for listening to your people. Thank you for listening to each and every one of us. Father, I pray that this word that we have received this day will be rooted in our hearts, will be planted in our hearts. In our hearts of hearts, oh God, this word will stay in and it will bear fruit. It will grow. Father, we ask that you nurture this word in our hearts. Give us more revelation about this word. Teach us your ways, oh God, that we can get everything through through this word, the word of God, which is the seed that will be sowing in our hearts. Father, I pray for each and everyone here who is making that commitment that they will plant each day a seed in their hearts. I ask, oh God, that you will fortify them. Fortify each and everyone who is making that promise. I ask, oh God, that for those that have planted seeds in their hearts and over the years, Lord, I ask that it will be a year of harvest. That this is going to be the year of their harvest. Father, let it be activated in their lives. Let greater things begin to happen. I ask, oh God, that their lives will be like the mustard seed, that huge tree that grows, that birds of the sky will land on them, that they will eat of their fruits. Let your presence abide with us, oh God. Let your presence do it in our lives. For all of this we ask in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you.